Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is the beginning of a new series. God willing, every third and fourth week of the month, we will be studying the book of Revelation. And so, today, we are starting with the first three verses of this book. So, turn with me now to Revelation chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3 for the scripture reading. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Please listen attentively as God's word is read unto you. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signify it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. The book of Revelation has fascinated many over the ages. And why is that so? Because the majority of this book talks about future events. And not just future events, but the events that will occur during the end times. It talks about the end of this present age and the establishments of the new heaven and the new earth. And so therefore, it is not surprising to find that there are many books, even fiction, that has been written based upon the book of Revelation. There are even videos, movies, that have been made concerning this book. Now, whether or not they are accurate to the things that are written in this particular book is one question. But also, you will find that many, having read the contents of this book, are still none the wiser concerning its teachings. And that is very, very sad. Because if you look at verse 3 of this book, you will realize that this revelation of Jesus Christ was given to us in order to be a blessing. It is meant for our profit. It is meant for our good. And so it is said that when people read this particular book, oftentimes they regard it as nothing more than to tickle their ears. More like a fantasy story. Then there are others who read this book, and because they find certain things in this book so esoteric that they give up totally in even trying to understand its content. And that it is said. Because this book is given to us to be a blessing unto us. It is supposed to be a blessed revelation. And so therefore, we want to ask ourselves this question today. How may this book be blessed revelation unto us? And the first thing that we need to know is this. We must first understand who is the one that reveals. Understand who reveals. And you can find that being taught to us in the first two verses of this book. And down here in the first two verses, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto us, and gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now the title of this book is Revelation. And it is obvious where this title came from, right? You look at verse 1, it says there, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the meaning of revelation? Now, the word revelation down here actually comes from the Greek, apokalypsis. Right, that's where you get the word apocalyptic. And what actually is the meaning of apocalypsis? Well, this word actually means the lifting of a cover or the lifting of a lid. Right, so you have something that covers a vessel, and while this container has this lid on it, right, the contents inside that vessel, right, is hidden. Right, it's not so clear exactly as to what the contents are. But then after the lid is pulled off, it is now clear what exactly is present, right, inside that container. And so this book, right, talks about the lifting off of the lid, right, of several things. Now before we look at what are these things that are to be uncovered, first we must understand exactly who is the one that does the uncovering. And this is critical, because if you do not understand who does the uncovering, then you may very well have the wrong attitude and spirit towards this book. So first understand, who is the one that reveals? And the Bible here says, well, the one who reveals is none other than God and His only begotten Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, it is God Himself who gave us this revelation. It is God Himself who lifts up the lid. And because it is God Himself who is doing this, therefore this book must be treated with utmost seriousness. We must have the highest view, the highest regard for the things that are found in this book of Revelation. So as you approach this particular book, please do not approach it just like a book of fantasy. Sometimes this is the case even for Christians. Well, we like to come and hear the things of Revelation, but we do so only because it sounds, wow, something that is so fanciful, or something that sounds so amazing. Oh, you mean in the world next time all these things will happen? So we listen to it as though we are viewing a drama serial. And that's why, you know, sometimes you see all these videos that are being produced, and the videos are being produced like Hollywood. No, it's actually not a very good sign, because it shows forth a wrong kind of spirit that is present in Christianity today towards this book. We should actually have a very sober spirit as we look into the contents of this portion of scripture. Actually, not only this portion of scripture, but the entire Bible, right? Because the entire Bible, right, is given to us by the divine inspiration of God. He is the author of the Holy Scriptures. So in fact, this first point, we can restate it. It's not just understand who reveals, but to put it more exactly, we must understand who is the author of this book. And the author of this book, please do not think that it is John. Or sometimes people like to say, oh, the author of this book of the scripture is this person, is that person. Now, there is a big difference between author and writer. The writer is somebody who pens down something. The author, though, is the one from which the words originated from. And here, the book of Revelation make it very clear that the words, the visions, the writings that are found here in this precious book comes from none other than God Himself. It is the divine author, and John is none other than just a servant, an instrument, right, that is used to pen down these words. And that's what you see in the later part of the verse, isn't it? right? This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who revealed. And take note, it's revelation, not revelations. And purposely put in the singular down here in the scriptures. Why? Because the message to be considered of this book is one. Right? One whole revelation to be considered. And the theme, of course, is none other than what? Than Jesus Christ himself, right? The beginning is Jesus Christ. The end is also Jesus Christ. Right? So please understand this, right? Revelation, not revelations. Right? So wherever we do the public reading of this book, please do not say Revelations 1:1-3, but Revelation, singular, right? Chapter 1, verses 1-3, right, for example. One theme, one revelation, right, that is given. God himself gave it, and he is the one who showed it unto his servants. And in this particular case, Jesus Christ himself sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, unto his servant John. Right, he sent, and the word sent here is not the usual word for sent. Right, this is actually the word where we have, right, where we get the word, right, English word, apostle, apostello, right. Different from another word for send, right? Pempo, right? Just that one is just a general word for send, right? This one, apostello, right? Where we get the word apostle talks about a person being commissioned and sent out, right? Official commission. So this is very, very serious business. I am now commissioning you, right, to pen down these words. These words are important, and make sure you record these words, these visions, the things that you see, which I'm going to show you miraculously, right? Please write it down exactly as what you see. Right? So John will be the instrument, right, to bear record, right, to bear testimony, right, of all things that he saw. So he's the writer, but God is the author. Like God is the one who revealed it. And why this is important is, therefore, we must never ever regard the book of Revelation just as a book of men, like any ordinary book of men. Because any book of men is fallible. But a book which has God as the author is inerrant and infallible. It is perfect. And so, therefore, when we read this particular book, right, we must have the highest regard of it. We must come with a spirit of humility. So, do you wish to understand this book? Then first, right, you must have the spirit of humility. Right? This is the same for all portions of scripture. Right? John Calvin's three rules of understanding theology. And it's the same three rules also apply, right, in terms of understanding any portion of the Bible, you know, interpretation, Bible interpretation. Right? That is actually the first chief rule. And what is the first chief rule? Humility. Second rule, also humility. Third rule, also humility. Humility, humility, humility. The golden principle of Bible interpretation and study of the scriptures. Why? Because the divine author is God. And who is God? Right? God is the creator. He is higher than us all. He is the supreme of this world. And we are just finite creatures. Therefore, if you want to understand this spiritual book, understand spiritual things, then submit yourself to the teaching of God and let the Holy Spirit, right, be your teacher. And then this contents in the book will no longer be hidden, but God will lift up the lid, right, for you to understand. Now, what exactly did the Lord reveal, right, or lift up the lid, right, down here in this book? Things that may be previously hidden, but now, or not so clear, but now he wants to make it very explicit, very clear to all. Well, chiefly two things, right, in this book of prophecy. And by the way, right, as a book of prophecy, you know that there is both foretelling as well as foretelling, right, down here in this book. Foretelling. Where is the foretelling? Well, you realize, especially in the first three chapters of this book, that God lifts the lid on his present assessment of local churches in those days. Right, so he will deal a lot with the evaluation of how each church is faring before him. And because Christ himself is God, he's the perfect judge. So therefore, you know that his evaluation is totally trustworthy and on target. You know, men's evaluation sometimes of themselves and of churches is limited and marred. And oftentimes also stained by sin, oftentimes stained by our own stupidity. But with God, his assessment is always perfect. So therefore, this is also a very good book for us to study as we come to the end of the year, because the theme of this year is what? God's church, God's family, right? We are looking through this theme during the church camp, but it is also good now to look at this from the book of Revelation to see also what we can learn. So God lifting up the lid of his present assessment of local churches, and you will find that every church will have certain aspects of some of these things that are found in the various churches in Asia who will be put under Christ's microscope. And we can learn from it. But not only just that, right? And you know, this portion which has been reviewed is the foretelling part of the book. But then after that, God lifts the lid, right, concerning the doctrine of the end times. What are the things that will happen, and why does it happen? Now that will be the foretelling part. In fact, how the book is divided is in this way. You know, you will see, especially in this book, that is divided into three parts. Three parts, right, can be stated in this way. Right, firstly, the first part will be the things which thou hast seen. Right, and then the second part, right, from chapter 2 to chapter 3, right, the things which are. And then lastly, right, the things which shall be hereafter. Right, and this is actually taken from, right, the division is actually found in verse 19 of this chapter. Right, if you look at verse 19 of this chapter, write the things which thou hast seen. Right, so John is going to see the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his glory. Right, so he will write that down. Right, Christ as the head of the church, how glorious he is. And then after that, the things which are. Right, so this will be the present assessment, right, of the churches, like the churches in Asia, and it will be from chapter 2 to 3. And then from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 22, right, the things we shall be hereafter. The Lord will lift up the lid, right, concerning all these things. And because it's the Lord who lifts up the lid concerning all these things, we know that this revelation is perfect. No mistake with regards to all these things. And therefore, most trustworthy. Whatever God says will happen in the future, whatever is God's assessment of the present, you can totally take him at his word. And you will find that this is not the case, right, with regards to men, isn't it? Men can sometimes talk about the future, and sometimes people sit down and we think that they are very visionary people, and indeed some people seem to have some kind of knack to discern the times as to how it will go. Nevertheless, even for the best of men, you will realize that the understanding of how the flow of things will go in the world is oftentimes imperfect. They may know certain aspects of what is going to happen, but they cannot tell the future exactly. And sometimes their predictions may even be wrong. Even for those who claim to be able to tell a person's fortune or to know what is going to happen in the world, you oftentimes find that their so-called prophecies is very inaccurate. You know, they will give you a total of 200 prophecies, and then after that, you know, they will say, oh, you know, maybe something bad is going to happen in the world at the end of the year. Right? For example, the COVID-19 pandemic, some people say, oh, no, there is this guru in India or this guru somewhere which says all these things. And then they show you a clip of just one part of what he says. Oh, there's maybe going to be a plague somewhere down there. But did they show you all the various prophecies which he tried to make? No, they didn't. And then you realize sometimes all these things are so inexact. Oh, something bad is going to happen. Some tragedy is going to happen here. Some tragedy is going to happen there. Some tragedy is going to happen in Singapore. The truth is, tragedies always happen in Singapore. Right? And then sometimes they make all these predictions and then they are wrong and then they quickly cover it up. Oh, all these things I did not say. Man cannot tell the future perfectly. There's no way man can know because our understanding is finite and we are people bound by time and space. Whereas with God, you know all these things will happen because his decrees, they are eternal and they shall surely come to pass. And so we can fully trust everything, right, that is written in the book of Revelation. And we know that it will happen. That is very important. Because if we have any doubt that it will happen, then it will affect our attitude in the study of this book. Oh yeah, sounds very fanciful. Maybe it will occur. That's the attitude of some Christians also. When the Bible says that famine is going to happen, oh yeah, famine, yeah, maybe famine will happen, but it won't happen during my lifetime. That cannot be the kind of attitude that we have. If the Bible says famine will happen, it will happen. If the Bible says that one day the entire world will be a one world system controlled by the Antichrist, you can be very, very sure that the events of this world will move towards that particular direction. It will surely happen. Do not doubt it. And this then must affect how we live upon the earth today. And that is the reason why God revealed all these things to us. It revealed all these things to us so that we may know exactly how to live our life here upon this earth. And so that is the second reason or the second point that we want to consider with regards to the book of Revelation. Now, you want the book to be a blessed revelation unto you. You not only must understand who reveals, which is the first step, but you must also understand why he reveals all these things unto us. And the reason why he reveals all these things unto us, as stated just now, is that it may be for our profit, it may be for our blessing. Now, to know why the Lord revealed all these things to John, consider the historical context of this book. Now, this book was written sometime at the tail end of the first century, around AD 96, right, or 96 AD. It was during the tail end of Emperor Domitian. And what you will find at the end of the first century is that majority of the Christians were undergoing great persecution in the entire world. And you will see that being hinted, especially when you look at chapters 2 and chapter 3. Many of the churches, they were going through much trouble, much tribulation in this world. One of those that was involved in suffering for the faith is none other than John himself, because when he wrote down this revelation, he was in none other than the Isle of Patmos. He was in exile because of the faith. And if you know how the Isle of Patmos is like, you will know that it's a very terrible place to be there in exile. Now remember, we go there in exile, it's not just exile there and then do nothing. He will be asked to probably till the ground to do a lot of manual labor. And the soil at the Isle of Patmos is not a very fruitful land. That's very interesting because if you look at some of the Grecian islands, you realize that the land is very fertile because it is full of volcanic soil. But somehow, with regards to the Isle of Patmos, it was not the case. Very hard ground. And the Apostle John was exiled there. He was one of those that went through tribulation. And there were many that also went through tribulation because they want to stand up for Christ Jesus. Now, it's very easy during times of suffering, persecution, great difficulties, especially when you had to go through things of perhaps in a global scale, right? Because when you look at the book of Revelation, you realize that with regards to things that will happen next time in the world, with regards to wars, it will be on an international scale. So please do not take this pandemic as something, something so strange, only occur once in a lifetime. Don't worry. If you ever get to live to the fullness of your life in these 70 years upon the earth, or if your strength be much, the Lord allow you to live even longer, to 80 years old or beyond, you can be very sure you will see a fair share of global events. Global disasters. And then when you suffer because of all these things, and then you are also suffering because of the faith, you want to stand up for the truth, and then you are being chased about, you are not able to buy and sell, you are thrown into jail, your expression is, or speech is curtailed, you lose your life, you lose your comfort, you lose your family. It is so easy to become distressed and discouraged. And this is the reason why God gave the book to the people in the 1st century AD. And of course, not just to the people in the 1st century AD, but it's also meant for all of us today to read. Because so long as you want to remain faithful to the Lord, the Bible says the godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's only a matter of time. Because you live in a sin-sick world, a world that hates the truth, the world that hates the light, you will surely one day have to come and take a stand for Him and earnestly contend for the faith. It will happen. And during those times of testing, such a book can be very comforting and assuring to us. Why? Because it tells us that everything, God is in control. You know exactly how the world will run, and you know that it is perfect. That's why it's very important to know who is it that reveals, because it is God who reveals. So everything that is said in the book of Revelation will happen. And when you receive it by faith, then you know, yes, all these things are happening in my life, but then I know at the end of it, I know where I'm going to go. It's going to be the new heaven and the new earth. But in the meantime, I know that the world is heading towards great woes, is heading towards great sorrows. And so therefore, I know how to react to these trials and tribulations and difficulties in life. I can still find great joy in Christ Jesus, knowing full well where is my destination. But in the meantime, I better make sure that with regards to my life, I don't walk in the way of worldliness. I don't walk in the ways of the world. Materialism, eat, drink, and be merry. But rather to make sure that I must be spiritually awake. Because the other thing that the Bible makes it very clearly known in these three verses is the fact that this revelation will very quickly come to pass. That's why it's also revealed unto us. All these things shortly will come to pass. You find that in verse 1, isn't it? All these things must shortly come to pass. And then you look at the end of verse 3. All the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. It is close already. It is going to happen. It is imminent. And that is how Christians must view the events in this book. Don't just say that, all these things, are going to happen, but it won't happen during my lifetime. That is not the kind of attitude that we must have towards the scriptures. The Bible wants us to know, it's very near, it's at the door, it can very easily happen in your time. And even if it does not happen in your time, you can be very sure that the events of the world will lead towards it happening. And the woes that are going to be present in the world is only going to get from bad to worse. And if that is the case, why therefore do you want to put your hope in this world? Now, if you put your hope in this world, when you go through all these trials and tribulations, of course you will feel distressed. But when your hope is not in this world, when your hope is in Christ Jesus, then all these things suddenly will grow strangely dim, and then you will realize that the ground of your salvation is so solid that no man can take away from you. There is no reason for you to fear. There's no reason for you to panic. There's no reason for you to be distressed. God is in control. But in the meantime, awake. Don't put all your treasures upon this earth. You know, that is exactly how the people in the world is working right now, isn't it? Now, after the pandemic, people begin to look at all their assets and then they begin to think, oh, you know, it seems like every time after a crisis, things go down, things will recover. And then so they start throwing money into stocks, they start throwing money into shares, they start throwing their assets everywhere, thinking that, oh, everything will recover and after that, I will earn a big fortune. Sure, you earn a big fortune. But in the end, what is the use of all this fortune? Surely you must know that in the end, all these things will turn to rubble and it doesn't benefit you in any way. The only use for riches upon this world is if you use all these riches to glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is all. But if you let yourself be taken away by all these things, then your life upon this earth will be very sad. Your life upon this earth will be without comfort. And God does not want it to happen to you. God did not want it to happen to the first century Christians, first century AD Christians. Neither does he want this to happen to you in your life. That's why he gave you this book of Revelation. That's why God lift up the lid concerning all these matters. Understand why he reveals it. Understand the purpose. That is very, very important. Wherever you read a particular book, understand that God meant it for your good and why he gave you this book. It's not just to tickle your ear, but to have it set in your heart. And that is why in the third verse, God tells us exactly how this book can be a blessing unto us. You must have the right attitude towards it, and that is you must study and obey the revelation. And here, the way John put it is in this way: blessed, happy, super happy in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You will realize that only Christians are called blessed in the Bible. And the Christians, when it comes to the Word of God, including this portion of the Scripture, right, the words of this prophecy, they have the right attitude towards it. They love it. And because they love it, they will read it, they will hear it, they will keep it. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Now, the word readeth down here talks very much about the public reading of Scripture. And that's why even today, we still do the public reading of Scripture. Even during the worship service, we do not just ask you, okay, now turn and read on your own this portion of Scripture. We ask everybody to read out loud, public reading of Scripture. And God willing, when we come back together as a congregation, physical worship, understand the great privilege that the Lord has given unto us to have the public reading of Scripture. Now, in those days, the public reading of Scripture was even more important. And the reason was this. It is because they do not have printed copies of the Bible just like we have today. Today, we have it very easy with regards to accessing the Word of God. And especially in Singapore, where we thank the Lord that we have a wise government that allows us to have this freedom of worship. We have it even easier. You have it printed in this form and you have it with you and you have it on your shelves. You can easily get a copy of a Bible anywhere. And then you can also get copies of your Bible on the laptop. You can get copies of the Bible in the handphone. Many of us, we have copies of the Bible in the handphone, easily accessible. And even if it's not installed as an app on the handphone, you just type the verse down there. For example, Revelation chapter 1 verses 1 to 3, King James Version, and then you can find the entire verses being given to you. So easy to access. But being able to assess is one thing. Committing yourself to read those words is another thing. And that's why down here, God says, blessed is he that readeth. In the public reading of God's word, there will be somebody who read, and of course, there will also be people who hear. Right? Read and hear. So the one who read, of course, he reads with understanding. Then the people who hear, they are also down there trying to pay attention to exactly what is being heard. And that's why when there is a public reading of God's word, you will realize that oftentimes the chairman will try to remind you, please pay attention to the public reading of God's word. As the preacher will say that, even during the responsive reading, right? That is the kind of attitude that we must also have as we engage in that particular exercise. It's not just a formality. As we read it, we must make sure that this word sinks down into our heart. And that is the impact and the meaning behind the word readeth and heareth also. It talks about how we ought to commit ourselves to a diligent study of the Holy Scriptures in faith and in humility. Use every avenue of opportunity to grow in the understanding of the Holy Scriptures. And in Tabernacle BB Church, you know that there is a no lack of avenue for all these things. We not only have the Sunday sermons, but we also have the Sunday school. Today we do not have it. It's because we are going to have the church elections later on, and then you have to be physically present in order to cast your ballot. This is done like this so that the ballot can be secret, right? Which is a requirement, right, in the constitution. But other than that, you will have the Sunday school that is held. So after the Sunday service, you can have a very convenient opportunity to continue to learn the Holy Scriptures. And then we have the various fellowship groups. And then our fellowship groups are made in such a way that it is grouped according to, mainly according to ages. Of course, we have the domestic helpers ministry, which we cater to them and their particular spiritual needs. But then also with regards to the rest of the congregation, according to ages, and because of each age, they have different maturity, they have different spiritual needs. And so therefore, these various fellowship groups, as the preaching of God's word is done, it is applied to them in a particular way whereby it will minister to their soul and to the particular challenges that they will face in their age group. And we pray that as they study all these things, they will grow and then they will move through the various age groups in the fellowship group. That's why the fellowship groups are a means of grace, a means of grace for us to learn God's word and to be blessed by it. Diligent study of the scriptures in the fellowship groups. Then in the Bible Presbyterian Church, we are very privileged to have the Far Eastern Bible College, which offers many, many courses for people to study. Right now, during the pandemic, in fact, it is our privilege to have access to so many other courses that we couldn't access in the past. Last time, day courses, very few can attend. Now, because of the pandemic, day courses are now streamed. And then after that, the video are left available so that people can view it at any time of the week and then take lessons from it. The privilege is given to all of us. And then we have the opportunity to study God's word in private. We have access to various resources written by godly men concerning the word of God. We can study God's word so easily. The key is, do we commit ourselves to it? And even if we can commit ourselves to it, this word, read this word here, demands that the spirit must be right. It must always be in the attitude of faith. Always in the attitude of humility, whereby we seek and to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me today? And I want to learn, I want to have it in my heart. Just like what we have learned, you know, in the book of Zechariah. And those who attend the church Bible study will realize that the prophet Zechariah will always ask the angel, what do you mean by all these things? Teach me, help me to understand. That must be the kind of attitude that we must have before the Lord. Don't just read the scriptures and then try to understand it by your own feeble understanding. Always ask the Lord, teach me what I need to know. And always understand that even though you think you know, there are still many more things that you need to know. One brother recently told me, because of the various troubles that he had gone through, he was very, very thankful for the Lord for putting him through all these troubles. And he says, you know, after I went through all these troubles, now I can better understand what is the loving kindness of the Lord. That is very correct. I was very pleased to hear this from this brother, because that is exactly what it means to diligently study the scriptures, that as you go through all these things, then you realize this is what God actually meant when he teaches me all these things. And now having that experience, you say, wow, really, the Lord is so good. Previously, I thought that I understand that the Lord is good, but now my understanding has suddenly grown. I realize that there's still so much more that I need to know about the Lord. The Lord is not only good, but he is very good. He's infinitely good. There's so many things that I still need to learn concerning the Holy Scriptures. And that is exactly how we should also approach this book of Revelation also. Diligently study this book with the eyeglasses of faith, with all humility, seeking to learn what the Lord has for us to teach, has to teach us. And you realize that this kind of hearing, in the end, must result in the attitude of keeping. Right? The word here is actually the bridge between the word read and the word for keep. Now, this word keep is an interesting word for keep. It has this sense of guarding, and the reason that you guard all these things is because you treasure all these things greatly in your life. In other words, you view them as very, very precious. There are a lot of things that we treasure upon the earth, and the things that we treasure upon the earth, we usually keep them under lock and key, isn't it? You ask a photographer, he treasures his cameras very much. He will do his best to keep his camera equipment. He will buy a dry cabinet. He will buy whatever is necessary for him to be able to clean the lenses the right way. You can possibly use tissue paper to clean the lens. You will surely spoil the lens. And he will make sure that he will keep the dry cabinet always running. And then with regards to our various antiques, we are very, very careful how we display them. We make sure that we do not knock them over. We make sure that they are well preserved. With regards to our money, we keep them in the bank. Precious. What then about the Word of God? As Christians, we oftentimes like to memorize verses that talk about the Word of God, and then we know the various accolades that the psalmists have offered concerning the Holy Scriptures. Oh, sweeter than honey, far more precious than gold. But is that really how we view the Holy Scriptures? Because if we view the Holy Scriptures in that way, we view the book of Revelation in that way, then what will result in our life is we will truly want to guard it, isn't it? And what is the way to guard it? Chiefly, the most important step is to hide it in our heart. To guard it in our heart. Here, right here. And to make sure that whatsoever is in the heart will also not be taken away from us. That's why the Bible talks about how we should guard our heart with all diligence. Because firstly, we must have the Word of God sing to our heart. And after that, guard it with all diligence to make sure it is a heart that stays afresh, aflame for the Word of everlasting life, for God. It must be always a biblical and scriptural heart. That's why the word keep is used down here. You treasure and obey God's Word. Guard it. Defend it here. And if you truly guard it and defend it here, you will realize that when it comes to the Word of God in this life, wherever the Word of God is under attack, you will also want to defend it. When the book of Revelation is under attack, you will want to defend it. You will be very, very angry when people want to add or subtract from this word of prophecy. And that's why it's what you find in the Word today, where it talks about the book of Revelation being made into works of fiction. It's actually really, really a disgrace to the book. Because you realize they add in a lot of salt and pepper to what is written here in the book of Revelation. Sometimes they subtract from it, sometimes they change certain things, sometimes they add certain things. It is really actually diabolical. It should not be done, and you must defend it. And then, of course, now you know that in the world, there are frequent attacks concerning the Holy Scriptures. Before the Reformation, the scripture was under attack, it was hidden from the populace, it was not allowed to be translated into the vernacular, people were not allowed to access it, and then the priests, they were allowed to corrupt the word of God. They teach things that are not found in the Holy Scriptures. Today, this is also the case whereby people try to corrupt what is written in the Bible, try to promote all sorts of philosophies to try and change whatsoever is written, to add their ideas, their emendations to the scripture, and therefore come up with a lot of corrupt translations of the Bible. This is something that we should actually be concerned of. You know, for us, we are so concerned when we find mistakes in our children's textbook, and then we get so angry, we write to the forum page, how can this kind of mistake come in? But then when it comes to the Word of God, we are not even concerned. Or we are very concerned about our own name when it gets affected, when people attack us. But then what happens to the Word of God? When the Word of God is under attack, never mind, let people change the Word of God. That cannot be. And it shows the attitude that we have concerning the revelation which God has given to us. But far beyond just standing up for the Word of God like this, it's really a life of obedience. And that is what we mean by keeping the Word of God. You obey. You make sure that your entire life is a biblical life. Everything is according to biblical principles. When it comes to the church, make sure that it's run in the biblical way. When it comes to the individual life, make sure I live it also according to what pleases God. That my entire life, I live it for God. To live is for Christ and to die is gain. That is exactly what Paul says in the book of Philippians. That will also be your motto. That is the motto and the spirit of one who is keeping the Word of God, the revelation of God in his heart. You defend it, you guard it, and you make sure that this will not be taken away from you. You make sure you don't stray away from it, because it is only in this way that God's revelation will be a blessed revelation unto you. That is exactly what God wants to achieve in your life. That as you stay here upon this earth, you will be strong in Him. You will be useful for Him in the promotion of His kingdom. That you will shine to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So therefore, as we begin our study of this book of Revelation, please understand this very basic premise first. How exactly are we to approach this book so that this book may be a blessing unto us, that it will be a blessed revelation? Firstly, understand who reveals to us. The author of this revelation is none other than God. The writer is the Apostle John, but the author is God. And because the author is God, so therefore the revelation is perfect, it's entirely trustworthy. We must have the highest regard for this revelation, attitude of humility, but at the same time, we know that it's perfectly trustworthy. And so therefore, the next step is to understand why exactly he has given to us this revelation. It's for our blessing, it's to be our comfort, it's to assure us that all things are in control by the Lord. It's also to awake us unto the spiritual reality so that we may be spiritually sober. All these things that are written, it will shortly come to pass. Not only will it come to pass, but it shortly come to pass. It's urgent, so therefore don't drag your feet when it comes to your spiritual life. Be very, very fervent to seek for higher ground in terms of spiritual things. And how so? When you approach God's revelation, you make sure that you obey it. And the way it's written in verse 3, you read it, you hear it. In other words, you must diligently study the Holy Scriptures in humility and faith. And because you have the highest regard for the Word of God, you will treasure it, you will guard it in your life. And the way to do it is to truly hide the Holy Scriptures in your heart. Make sure you guard it with all diligence. And that will result in the life of obedience, whereby we will bear much spiritual fruit unto the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is how the book of Revelation can be a blessing unto us. May God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for this wonderful book which you have given to us for our profit. How, O Lord, we ask that as we study this book concerning the things which are present and the things which are to come, that you will, O Lord, open our spiritual eyes and grant the heart of thy people a wholehearted devotion to thy truth and to thy fear and to the pursuit of godliness, that indeed, as we walk this way before thee, we may be richly blessed. So be with thy people, O Lord. Keep them ever in thy love and in thy care. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.